Again, a portion of the epistle lesson read to you just a moment ago. In everything you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, so that you are not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, blameless, in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. A description of each one of us? Did you hear yourself in those words of the Apostle Paul? Grand and glorious words, actually, words of high praise for those original Corinthians. Are they words of praise for us? We are enriched in everything in him, in all speech, all knowledge, not lacking any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Seriously, when is the last time we stopped during our busy days and said, you know, I can't wait for Jesus to come again. I can't wait for the end of the world. I can't wait to see him. I wish he would come again and echo those words of the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, even so come, Lord Jesus. When seriously is the last time that was our prayer? I would venture to say it's been one long time, if ever. And I think the reason for that is when we think about the end of the world, maybe the end of our own life, we become extremely frightened. We don't want to think about it. I mean, when this life is over, eternity is decided. That's it. There's not another chance beyond the grave. There's no gray area there either in eternity. It is either life or it is death. It is either glory or condemnation. And that is extremely frightening to people. And there has been, through the years, the decades, the centuries, much preaching expended upon the necessity for people to get their acts together and to prepare for at least their own end. A lot of scare tactics have been used. And such preaching generally focuses upon what the believer in Jesus Christ needs to be doing. We can't be wasting our time here. We must be about the things of the kingdom. We must be about the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must be witnessing. We must be seeking to bring others in, all the while thinking, this is what God wants me doing. This is how he wants me spending my time. You better do it. Because if you don't, you might be placed among the goats when it's all said and done. So we've got to be faithful. We've got to be faithful to the end. And that faithfulness makes itself known in my seeking to do that which my Lord wills. Remain faithful, remain steadfast. That's the way such preaching goes. And it's no wonder that people become frightened when they hear that kind of talk, when they think about their own end. Because in review of my life, my own personal life, this is an area of confession here from me to you, I don't live up to these words that Paul says in this text. I have not spent my entire life, every moment of it, seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I have not been blameless in the sight of God. Not all of my speech is enriched by Him, certainly. And I think that's the confession of everyone. And when put up against that preaching that we often hear of the faithfulness that's needed to be prepared for the end, all of us fall woefully short. And so we don't want the end. We want to delay it as much as possible, put it off for as long as possible, and we're scared at the thought of coming before the throne of Jesus Christ and standing there before Him with no masks on, bare. What's He going to say? What's He going to do? Oh my goodness! If I could only do it over again, I would never say those words that I said. I would never do those things that I did. I would do those things I didn't do. But in eternity, there are no second chances. Frightening. Absolutely frightening. And yet Paul says of these Corinthians that they eagerly await the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. They eagerly await His second coming. And I look at that Corinthian church and I see there one of the biggest problem Paul ever had. That church, numbering so small a number of people, Corinthian church was probably no bigger than 50 or 60 people. And I look at the problems that Paul, in this letter to them, addresses. Problems that are going on in their church. Amongst that small number of people, I wonder how Paul can say what he says. That they're enriched in Christ in all speech and all knowledge. That they're blameless before Jesus Christ. That they're not lacking any gift. How can Paul say such a thing? Well, Paul's got it right. And as usual, we got it wrong. All of that preaching that we hear about the necessity of being ready for the end of time by doing this, that, and the other thing is centered upon one person. And that's the hearer. That's you and me. And when I compare myself to that, I don't live to that standard. And I become frightened. But Paul, he does not focus upon his hearers. Paul focuses upon another person, Jesus Christ. I don't know how many times, if you caught it as we read this text, from the lectern, how many times Paul says Christ Jesus or Jesus Christ here in this small text. His focus is upon one person alone. And that is not those who fail. But it is upon the one who succeeded. It is upon the Son of God Himself, whose blamelessness is given free of charge to all who believe in Him. Whose enrichment in all speech and knowledge is given to all who believe in Him. For Paul, faith in Jesus Christ in the sight of God enriches everyone in all speech and knowledge. Places within them every gift that God has to give and holds them blameless in the sight of God when all is said and done. That's why Paul wasn't afraid. He wasn't focused upon himself. He was focused upon Jesus Christ. And that is the lone cure, the only cure for our fear. Oh, that doesn't mean that we're going to do cartwheels and jump for joy at the thought of dying. But that fright is removed in Jesus Christ. Because now our emphasis is no longer upon the wrong person. Our sight is upon the right person, the sinless, blameless Son of God, whose sinlessness and blamelessness is given to us by God Himself, free of charge. And it is that sinlessness, it is that blamelessness that Paul talks about in this text. And it is that sinlessness and that blamelessness by which the child of Jesus Christ is transported to eternity, free from fear. The end frightens many, because so often their emphasis is upon the wrong person. May it be our prayer that God grant us the Holy Spirit to point our eyes toward Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, and move us to say, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.